Okay, hope. And we will not determine quorum.
We got a quorum. We're good.
So we spare not to
just missing Joe.
Find out.
Joe's the only one who's unable to make it.
He's coming, he said. Okay, public comment, no public discussion items. I wanted to add one little item. I just wanted to have, I'm sure you've all heard about how we got this award for our financial reporting. And you want to do it? I just wanted to hear an explanation of what this is, why we get the award.
Government Finance Officers Association, GFOA, presents guidelines for how you do your budgets each year and how you present that to the public in the budget document. So each year for the last, I know it's at least 11 years, I think it goes back 14 years, but whatever, 11 that we have the list certificates for. We submit the budget in in August, I think it's due, after you adopt it in June. There's a certain criteria and a checklist that's rated by independent evaluators from all over the country they send it to. And what they do is they rate you based on your performance of, you know, did you give a long-term plan? Is your capital improvement plan reflected in there accurately and in detail? Do you have past history of expenses in there? Are they up to date? Do they reconcile? Are there good narratives? Are there org charts? Are there mission statements? Are there, you know, all those kinds of things in there? I mean, that's what they're looking for is sort of if a general member of the public picks it up and says, what's going on in this city and how are they spending our money? They want to be able to look at that budget and say, there it is. It's all pretty much there. It's different from the CAFR, which is the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which tells how you actually spent the things and audits to make sure you've done it in the right accounts and whatnot. This is a planning document, and they want to make sure you've got your strategic plans in there. You've got your all the information that literally that anyone picked it up would know the financial status of the city. And that's what they're looking for, what your priorities are, et cetera. There has to be narrative in there. It's combined with graphs, charts, et cetera, and statistical data from prior years. So I think it goes back 5 years of history or 3 years of history, whatever, and then 5 years forward. So it's a pretty exhaustive list, and every year they add things to do it. I think there's about five evaluators that look at each budget each year, and they give you a rating. And so we've received a Distinguished Budget Award for the last, I know of 11 years, I can verify.
11 years. I think Michelle was the first one to push that through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, thank good you work.
Very much, Lee.
Great work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. It's awesome.
Anyway, that's I think.
Yeah, good. Okay, approval of minutes, if we agree.
The minutes are somewhere around here, floating around here, if
the
you
minutes,
need them.
Yeah.
And I send them out.
Okay, any motion to approve?
I make a motion.
Second.
As presented.
I see.
Tom and Bill. Okay, investment portfolio, the city reserve fund status report.
Yes. And that would be like a disc pocket right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First would be the cash flows, and we're going to evaluate or go into detail about a brief summary of October, November, and December for the second quarter of the fiscal year. And just a quick update for October, we have pretty much the last big chunk of the big payment for our annual street improvement project, and that would be the cash flows you would see. It went out of the 1.3 for October. And $970,000, that was for the capital project, for the street project. Okay, and then that is kind of like the major expenditures for the last quarter. And you will see a big dip for the balance for the October. And I know we have some questions regarding the money market fund. So therefore, like the money market fund for October, they have gone down to roughly $230,000 for the money market account. Okay. So October and November just regular operations, as well as for the December. And December, I want to point
that
out.
Is that property tax amount?
Yes. For November and December, we got some property taxes. The major one is gonna be the month of December. We have roughly about $950,000 in property tax receipts. Okay, so they kind of boost that back up. And then for upcoming quarter, January would be another big payment that's actually we just received last week. And that's about roughly like a $500,000. And February will be a dry month, and then we're gonna pick it up again in March and April.
Why is February? They just don't make payments in February?
They do make payments, but then the county, it just disperses a little dollar amount, but then the big one will come back again. So that is just their county's apportionment schedule.
It's April 15th anyways, right? For
But people pay early. They pay
by February 2nd or February.
They pay early.
Yeah.
Do they distribute the funds that quickly, the county?
Fairly quickly, yeah, on a monthly basis, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it actually simplifies their job if they can do it, because they don't want the money sitting there, too, because then they've got to calculate interest, et cetera.
Right.
Oh.
So, it's our money.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
True. And for many of these cities and entities, it's operational. That's one of their sole, like, operating revenues. Mm-hmm. So if like for us, it's probably 90 some odd percent of our revenue. So if we don't get it, I mean, we need that to keep going. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a substantial reserve, so we can rely. But some of these smaller entities don't have those kinds of reserves that can rely on. So mm-hmm. they need the influx of cash as soon as they can get it.
Right. Thank you. And then one last thing, just want to bring to your attention. So the month of December Treasury report is a draft format, and Mr. Underwood will review it today and tomorrow, and that will go to the City Council. I do want to point it out to you because of the December, since we received the big chunk of the property taxes, so we did transfer roughly like a $600,000 into OCIP account. That would be the county.
That's on this one. It's called a draft.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. The month of December.
Month of December.
Yeah. So it's a month of December monthly financial mm-hmm. statement. Goes to. So you're saying there, why don't you make that statement again now that I've got that in front of you. You transferred?
Roughly about, let me see, $600,000 from our checking account with the property tax receipt to the OCIP, yeah, so which is the county pool account. So
the county transfers the money. They won't transfer to their own account. They transfer to us, our checking account. Right. We have to subsequently make the transfer over to ours. Mm-hmm. So that's just a process we go through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a normal flow through when we get those, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So these are the balances that are left as of December 31 after the transfer.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the balance report, is all that one is. Just show you where we stand.
May I ask a question on this schedule?
Sure.
The Sierra Villa Drive rehab is on hold due to federal government?
We had funded that partially, well, large portion of that from federal infrastructure monies. Now, you'll recall that the Congress is going through a lot of debates, etc. So that funding has been withheld at this point from the federal government. So in lieu of spending our money and trying to get reimbursed, we said, okay, let's just hold on the project until the federal, because it's a large enough project that we want to make sure that we have the money to support it. Otherwise, we'd be dipping into our reserves to have to pay for it. Okay. So it's part of that, the budget balancing kabuki dance they're doing in D.C., and that's one of those issues that sort of they've withheld our money. So not the plans, we're ready, I think we are ready to go out to bid. We've got everything done on our side, but I'm not gonna pull the trigger until on their side they commit and send us money.
Wise.
Yeah, makes sense.
We don't want to project Jeff Jennings.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a small number for them, but it's a big, in the big picture, it's a big number for us. Mm-hmm. And it's magnified, so I cannot comfortably spend $400,000 out of our general fund, not knowing when or if it will even get reimbursed. It may fall by the wayside, in which case we'll incorporate that project later into one of our regular projects. But we had advanced that project because of the availability of federal money, quote unquote availability.
Good.
So the pledge of the paper, the only other one we can cover is this one back behind the December financial balance report. And that's the monthly cash flow analysis, which is just cash analysis. Just to take a longer term, jump out of the details a little bit. We used to worry about from $2 to $4 million in reserves. And you see the balances back here. So we've really upped the game. Well, we're up at $6 million, $5-6 million. Mm-hmm. Not big amounts as most cities are concerned, but for us, they're really a doubling of reserves. So the conservative nature of the council in not spending and reserving and making sure we're out of the reserve is there. At some point, I assume it will come up that we'll have additional large projects as well.
Every 2 years we do a street project. So that we do a cycle thing. So this city has never borrowed money for infrastructure or anything, actually, and Brad can attest to that as well. We do a cash basis. So what we do is accumulate our property taxes and our operating expenses and, you know, cut off that. And then so we design a project for street, we identify projects, we design a project over the next year and a half, and then the following year and a half, what we do is we actually do the project when we have money available. So that allows us to collect the monies over 3 years, pay for it cash as we go. So we're never in a situation where we are behind in trying to figure out how to get extra money. What it also enables us to do is we scale our projects to the amount of money that we're going to get over those two or three years. So we know what we're going to have. So we say, okay, the engineers say, okay, we have this amount of mile, you know, cost to redo this kind of project, you know, the streets is remove 2-inch cut in and right. All that kind of stuff costs us this amount per mile, and this is what we're doing, so we can calculate that pretty accurately. So we typically spend between $1.5 and $2 million on those projects every other year or every second to third year, depending on if there's rains and things like that slow things down. But that's how we do it, and so we operate that, and that also enables us to deal with a lot of moderations in our, you know, say the sheriff's budget goes up a little higher or something happens or something accumulates. We aren't dipping into reserves because we are adjusting our capital project accordingly on our streets. And you know, you could argue, well, the streets get cold, but I think the streets in general, we've done a pretty good job of maintaining them. Yeah. The other thing, what we do is we do a slurry seal, and we did, Brad can attest, I think we did slurry seal Deers Street.
Absolutely.
And so for those, that's a lot cheaper to do. Life expectancy is about 5 to 7 years there versus about 10 to 15 years if you dig it all out and re-asphalt it. But we've done that. So if there's streets that really need something, we can do, you know, we can go to the lesser grade and say, okay, we can cut our expenses, value engineer it down to slurry sealing. And so, you know, when they repair the cracks and they slurry seal over top of it. But that's like a good coat of paint. That's not really fixing the, it really is. It's not like removing and doing the street. But our streets overall, they do what they call a pavement condition index. And our streets are pretty nice, where it's like 1 to 100. We're in the 80s, which, like if you go to Fullerton, they're in the 50s. So by comparison, we're pretty good. And that's considered a very, you know, a good city. So we try and keep them up. So if we have to moderate our projects a little bit, I'm not overly concerned. Because we're not going to drop off, and we're not going to have like major, and that we also set aside money, so you know, for like major rain problems, where if we have a sinkhole or something like that, we address that separately out of a different pot of money.
And what about we're involved in sewer, routines?
We have a sewer. You all in your property tax have a sewer assessment that was approved by the Winbrad. Do you know when it was?
I don't know. Maybe 10.
Yeah.
Roughly,
and that sets aside a certain—I want to say $300 something.
About
$300
a year. We don't
have
any big money coming up for that, do we?
No. What we do is, again, we moderate that by based on what we do. So what we do is we clean them every year, and then we're just doing an inspection, finishing the inspection, and we're doing a GIS thing so we can track all of them and where they are, and load capacities and those kinds of things. So we use that money specifically for the sewers and to keep them running. And you know, we do have an older infrastructure, but we're pretty aggressive about how we inspect them and what we try and repair them, etc. Again, we're responsible for the main lines, the laterals that go from the main lines to the houses. That's where residents have their responsibility, but roots get into both of them. We make sure they're all working, and that's really what we focus on. And that fund is is specifically allocated for sewers.
And so, you can speed it up or slow it down.
Speed up or slow down, deal with emergencies. Okay. We have, we probably get about $400,000 a year that we receive from that assessment. So again, we have money available to do the project.
So where would you find that balance?
Oh, that balance is all mingled together. Okay. It's part of the city pool, but then on our financial statement, on our system, you will see a separate fund that is segregated for the sewer improvement project fund.
The other thing too nice about the city, we don't have the traffic like Fullerton has.
Right.
Right.
Which doesn't, you know, deteriorate things as fast.
Well, it's interesting because I've talked to current and past city managers there. Part of their problems are up in some of their less traveled, the Sunny Hills areas and those where they have hills.
Yeah. The
topography is much like some of ours.
Yeah.
And they just haven't maintained them over the years. Mm-hmm. They are a different city structurally because they have their own police and fire. Mm-hmm. So that's a different challenge, you know, that they sort of have to negotiate, you know, and if there's available money, we can set it aside. We don't negotiate with sheriff deputies. Right. If they get additional money and haven't reserved, their unions are saying, hey, you got money in reserve, we're going for that.
So, of course.
Yeah, so it's a different ballgame, but if you really talk to them, if you drive up into Sunny Hills, and I've driven up there because we live up in Brea and we kind of frequently down there, and it is some of the, like, North Euclid and some of those areas where they are not as heavily traveled, but it's because they're up and down and the waters wreak havoc on them and they just haven't been aggressive about how they repair them. So unfortunately, Fullerton's got some other problems financially, so they can't deal with them easily.
That's their problem.
When you have a gas leak on the street, or like our street right now has a main line water leak, and they dig up part of it, whose responsibility is it to put it? Is it the
gas company or the water or Serrano? They are responsible for repairing. And we have engineers that go out and say, "Hey, it's not appropriate." So our guys go out and say, "No, you're not doing it. It's not up to the level that we want," or whatever. So if it's uneven or whatever, temporarily what happens is they put a temporary thing in there, and you see people saying, "Hey, it's not done." There was a situation over at Center or Lemon and San Diego, and there was a repair. Well, it was a temporary repair until they had their asphalt company come out and do it. But we have our engineers, hey, have to buy off on it and say where it's good. So if there is a problem and they're not repairing it up to snuff, we try and get onto it. We give them an easement. A temporary easement to get in and repair the stuff, because they typically have to dig through our roads to get there to that stuff. So we'll give them, so that gives us the right to check on the value. So, like on Santiago, you remember a few years ago we repaved that whole thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the gas company tore up half of it, and they were only going to repair up half. They were only give us the first southbound lanes they were going to repave. Well, we negotiated and said, just give us the money and we'll repave the whole street, because it doesn't make sense for us to just do half the street and you guys driving a great half street and the other side you're driving terrible. So we will work with them however they want to do, but Serrano is the most active, the water district, and you know, Brad, you guys are out there
Ben's asphalt is very happy with us. You guys are the ones to come out and do all the asphalt finish work.
So if you see like
and that price has gone up so much, it's crazy, asphalt cost.
Yeah. If you see stuff shoot through the waters and flooding, things like that, we'll contact the water district. Then they come out, and they're very quick about it, candidly. They're pretty quick about getting to it and doing things. But they'll repair up to our standards, not to, they don't just pave and be done and walk away. Yeah. And they're good partners. They really are.
But you're right. We've had calls on the temporary fix. It's like, hey, wait, that's ugly. Well, because we're waiting for Ben to come finish it.
Yeah.
Bill, you had something to say about
that? Just the fact that the other thing where we are. So we didn't have cash flow reports for quite a while, as Bill and Lynn will attest to. But Lee has put these together, and that gives us that view. The view of the longer, and if we had them not written down, basically the finance director, the city manager of York had that in their mind, and they would come in and orally brief us like we did on this one. In the terms of the longer term, and I haven't looked at it because I don't think we have a hard copy as much. Despite the super reports that certification that we're getting now on that report, that takes you out 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that would that have a perspective of what you described to us there about the projects and the general flow of?
The capital improvement program would have a long-term project. It's 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Would that be worth printing out, maybe bringing to the next meeting here and showing the bigger perspective?
Sure.
Actually, is that it, budget document is actually published online.
You can also
so you can even look at that online too. I just want to let you know.
So when it goes online, I don't see it. So it's so I'm just saying,
call
so we can have some discussion on it that underscores what.
Yeah, we'll bring a copy of
talked
that
about last
the
today.
Capital improvement
yeah.
projects.
Yeah.
So that's all. I mean, the other report was always done. The short-term cash flow was a Kentucky windage, basically, that the finance director and city manager were so on top of it that we kept it going. This actually puts it down on paper and gives us all the perspective.
So one of the things that I'm really kind of proud of, we've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4. In the last 11 years, we've gone through 4 finance directors. But we've still gotten that award every year. So that's something I really, really sort of like you know, that we bring
quality
in high quality
people too.
Yeah, bringing quality people that helps them step forward and step into those shoes fairly quickly. So, and I want to say that 2 of the 4 have been CPAs, which is pretty rare for a finance director in a city to be a CPA. They typically don't do that. So Lee's a CPA, and I think it's to our best interest to have that quality of person in those seats. So,
and they have a city manager who knows the county personnel and when they're
absolutely
retiring and come in the connection.
Yeah, well, Lee came to us from OCTA and prior to that, Lake Forest, right?
Yes.
So, again, so we're fortunate to have the quality people we do.
Thank you.
Great. But Bill, you are listed here as having a report on farmers and marketing spend and discussions about our investment.
That's on the minutes or on the agenda?
That was in the minutes.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah, that may be on the minutes,
is
right?
That wrong?
Anyway, I'll be glad to give that. We had that last time, but so here's the agenda. They look separate, but they look,
and these
are the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to recap from last meeting. We met with the Farmers and Merchants Bank and to see if, and that's when the crisis was going on about banks and understanding what would happen with this regional bank and where they're positioned. They were very forthcoming and they are about as solid as they come in terms of their perspective, things that aren't written down, as well as down. They're about $10 billion, as I recall. So they're on that edge of being a, you know, they really want to act like a community bank, but they're really, their numbers are driving them up to a regional bank. So they're trying to keep that same philosophy of very conservative lending ratios. And so I came away from there, I think as the group did, that you and she were both in it as well, that said this bank is really well managed. And then, of course, as you know, in the community, reputation, as you talk to people who've been there, they have that same feeling. This is really a solid bank. I think we'll watch them too, just because they are at that view, and we'll see who knows what the banking system's going to come. But you think the long-term perspective really is the regional, there's really not a niche for the regional banks going forward. So the Fed protects the big guys, the little guys stay very conservative, and the regional banks kind of get squeezed in between. And I think it's going to continue, but there you have a philosophy of a community bank at this point, basically. And their loan ratios are really conservative, so they don't get too far extended out. And they don't go into as much commercial real estate, because that's where the banks, regional banks, get in trouble, right? When the commercial real estate market tanks, they tank down with them. So that wasn't prepared for that, but that was that last time. So we came away from that saying the money, the small amount of money that we have in F&M on the December report.
Didn't we have a CD coming up though in January?
No, we don't have a CD. The CDs, actually, the next ones is going to be this coming summer, July and August. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're going to have 2 CDs maturing this summer.
Yeah. Wow. That'll help. Get rid of those.
Yeah. 0.55 interest rate, that old one.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Believe that.
Crazy, huh?
Back in the days. That's why I'm still thinking, I wish we could move to something that's shorter term. But I know it screws up our laddering so bad.
Well, I think we have 3 rules. One, we want to be protect our principles, number one. And actually, these are canonized in the state law as well. And the second one is liquidity, and the third one is yield. So yield's at the bottom of the pack. Liquidity is really what drives us to laddering, so that we have money coming available every year. It was every 6 months, and now it's every year, the way we have it set up. I thought in terms of if we really cared about performance of rate, you could, I think it's not probably written down anywhere, you probably could take and buy and get rid, not get rid of, but get the capture the interest rates now for the next 5 years on and buy a couple overlapping it before the interest rates are down. So they were at 5%, probably down to 4% or 3-point-something now. By the time these mature, I assume it would be down to, the Fed would hope it would be down to 2%, but...
Not
yet. Yeah. So we could, but because rate is so low and performance is so low in terms of what we have, as long as we're meeting liquidity, meeting confident, so these are secured, so they're backed up. So that takes care of the principal. And we hold to maturity, so we don't have to worry about maturity rate, and we hold it to laddering so that we can have liquidity. So anything where we can continue to have liquidity. And we try to define liquidity by these plans, but we also have these things that happen outside the plan that we have to be prepared for, the hillside sliding or whatever, but we've been pretty conservative at this point.
I think when, you know, looking back, when the rates were so low, there wasn't really a need to say, oh, I want to lock in these for long term. Sure. It just
well, we did.
Didn't need to be. We did out of habit. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, okay, that's the thing. But there was no advantage to doing that. Now, maybe there is, that a 5% to do something, but I'm just not that big on long term.
I think we need
bonds,
more liquidity in our formula
stuff,
rather than, you know, keeping to this ladder, right?
Well, we can't go out, law by law, we can't go out more than 5 years, so.
I wouldn't want to.
Well, yeah. Maybe do shorter term.
Do shorter term CDs.
Yeah, like even now.
I did one yesterday, I was surprised at Citibank. They're offering, I got 5.25 and it was only 7 months. So, and I noticed Union Bank or U.S. Bank now, they have an 8-month. They don't do 1 year anymore.
Yeah, right.
They do, but they give you a lesser interest rate. Yeah. So if you do the 7 or 8 month, you get a higher interest rate. Mm-hmm. So they're encouraging lower months now.
Well, they're checking
because
out.
They think that the,
that's right.
They think the interest rate's going to go down some.
I agree.
Not to 2%, obviously.
Yeah. So we could do that. At one time, when you take, in the future, the yield curve gets not inverted and it gets back normal, then you get longer, you get better interest rates as you go out longer. Whereas now, where you, this inverted yield curve,
exactly.
You've got your short-term interest rates are better. So we could certainly, we wouldn't want to liquidate these because there's penalties in the liquidation.
Right,
So we want to hold, and it's only seven, eight months away. Mm-hmm. But we could buy short-term now and lock those in. For the short term or put that money there. The CalTrust, if you look at that, that was our answer for medium term. And that is yielding about 3.8% or 4%.
Not too bad.
And then even the short term stuff is yielding 4% now. So, the longer term ladder is not yielding as much as the short term and medium term right now. I.e. the inverted yield curve. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we could look at that 0.55% though, and what the penalty, it's not that far out from maturity. Maybe there's not much penalty, maybe we can move that into
a shorter term CD with
CD.
A high yield.
Yeah, with
that's maybe a thought to look at.
So we've looked at that, the number, you know, we presented those numbers about 3 meetings ago, and the numbers don't pencil out. And once it did kind of pencil out, it's a very small amount of money. For the processing of
it.
So we came away from that meeting saying we'll probably hold on to these and hold it to maturity. Okay. And my point was you could take some of the money from CalTrust and put those into and buy some short-term ones in there.
3.8 sounds
not too bad.
It's always get your attention. It's on it because ladder says you buy over time. Mm-hmm. Don't chase yield.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but.
Anyway, so
I think we need
we'll get to a meeting or two, they'll be gone.
Okay.
True.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. Now, last time we talked about the PARS account, but we didn't have a quorum, so we didn't vote on anything. So maybe we could just look at it this time. The question is, I like at every meeting to say, we're doing the moderate course, we want to move faster, or we want to move slower, or riskier, or less risky, is what that means, really. Does anybody have any feelings on that, that our fund, you know, our investment of our retirement funding?
So here's here's the copy of the most recent month there too, of their performance on PARS. I think you have that.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So because the good end of the year, it shows that we earned 14%. This is the one that said we earned 14%.
Yes. So do you want to let you all know?
It's on the bottom sheet.
Yeah. So October. So we do have like a less earnings of our decrease, like a 15,000. But however, in November we have an increased earnings of 42. And December, we have an increase of 31. So total, just for the quarter of last quarter,
so
we have a net increase of 57,000.
What she's talking about is this last, the page in the bottom line there in the middle, about mm-hmm. three over, says 1 year return, 14%.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of December was
down.
Which is
totally bogus.
It'll be down a little bit now from, you know, mm-hmm. things go up, things go down. But long-term wise, that was a pretty good yield. I don't have the book about where it would be if the next level up, the next portfolio up, and the next portfolio
down. Well, but that's
down.
Dated information anyway, so.
How many levels are there? Four levels?
Five.
Five. And we're like at level two or three?
We're moderate, actually.
Something like that. We're in the middle. We're in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does anybody have any feeling that we need to move that?
Seems like we're doing okay. I don't know. I mean,
it swings so much,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's just hard to tell what we're really doing.
Well, we're trying to be more conservative.
Conservative, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. We're not what we're saying about CDs and
right.
all that kind of stuff. Then I'm okay with moderate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should we consider that a vote? You want to consider a vote, or are you not that strong on it?
I think we're staying the same.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion then that we do not change our PARS position?
I'll make a motion to hang out.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah. Second for Mike. Okay.
Well, I think that's probably good to document that.
We all
viewed it and we had a new vote.
Absolutely.
And every quarter, I think, is appropriate to review it. So that's why we have the meetings.
So
if we don't require them, we can't have a vote. So last time we couldn't. That's all.
We get discussion on it when the reason we're in this is because PERS, CalPERS does so poorly. And it would be interesting. I don't know what their rate of return was. If they have a new strategy, very aggressive strategy, new boss, new performance guys.
That's true.
And that was the one where it comes up sometimes when it comes up. That, or you get a councilman who says, gosh, my portfolio went up this, and this one went over here with your balance, and these guys were going to do better for us. The reality is we have, I think if I read this report correctly, we have $686,000 in that account.
Yes.
And that was from $500,000 or $600,000?
$600,000.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, 600 went in.
Six was a seed.
Yeah, so we're now at 686, so we made about 10
good number
percent.
Of years.
Yeah.
I mean, and we put it in
6 years.
100
yeah.
years.
Yeah. 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 Right.
And this year we go.
Well, we changed it this year. We were going 100,000 each year, but we also put it. We split the 100,000 to go 52 or toward our health liability,
that's
which
right.
is about 150. So it's like a 3 year. We'll eliminate our health liability, then we can deal with. Mm-hmm. But we had not put anything aside toward our health liability.
Right.
So we are a third of the way there now at that point. So after this year, next year we'll be two-thirds of the way through, mm-hmm. and then we can readjust.
And so we keep putting 50 in this?
50 in this for the time being, and we dropped because we just decided that we created a separate trust for that account, sub-account, for the OPEB, they call it. I don't know what the OPEB stands for.
Other post-employment benefits.
Anyway, so that's like 150,000 liability there. So we wanted to start at least dealing with it.
We did that mostly because of one of the ranking systems. We suffered because we had more luck.
So now it shows up in the balance sheet.
I remember that. Yeah. I think that was a good idea.
Yeah. So we are funded.
It's cosmetic.
It is that.
The other thing, too, I think is, I mean, depending upon the discount rate that OSERS gives us, we are probably in the low to mid 80s percentile funded. And I don't know the exact number because CalPERS keeps adjusting their rates, and so they give you different numbers. But last I checked, we were like 84% funded, which is a very healthy funding level, which is, I think, our goal in the first place, right, between 80 and 85% funded long-term liability. Understanding that our long-term liability will decrease because we're going to lose one of our long-term employees who's on the Classic, and we go into the with Bill Tarrant is retiring. And so when Bill retires, then any replacement or anything we do will be under the new system, which is a far lower retirement rate that the person would get. Mm-hmm. So in essence, that will drop over the, by 2027, I think, even we're looking at our numbers will drop a lot. But even with the increase in the discount rate, or decrease in discount rate that CalPERS is throwing at us. So anyway, we're in very good shape because we have small numbers of people, small number of employees. You know, the people who really get hurt are the police department, cities, and those kinds of things.
Well, we get hurt tangentially, indirectly, because the sheriff has to raise their...
Well, sheriff is focused on, they're not in CalPERS, they're in OSERS, which is a separate system for the county.
Right.
So their system is always done better than CalPERS, as you probably know. So, and they're in a different management system, different structure, it's all, et cetera. So, you know, I mean, there's always the risk of things going, but I think they've been more aggressive.
So the projection is that the CalPERS system is not Stanford and others, folks would say they haven't gotten their discount rate right. They're discounting less than, they're discounting differently.
It's like 7% now?
So they have to constantly readjust that discount rate. They don't want to do it all at once. They want to do it gradually over time. To not have the cities and other agencies that depend on them get that big hit. And then there's also like, we're gonna do better, and it doesn't seem to happen at this point. So where our percentage of funding rate will go down until we put this money back into the...
Right. I mean, 50-60% if you just go straight, but to add to 700,000, which they do in our financial statements, they give us credit for, and we do an actuarial report.
So do we need to put a trigger in to about when we take some of this money from PARS and put it into the CalPERS?
Well, right now, our probably the trigger would be the contribution you have to make annually to CalPERS. Right now, the increases have been single-digit percentage-wise. So with that, I would not trigger anything. But when it starts to get larger, I think we'd come back to you and say, well, look, we're at 15% or jumping, you know, or something along those lines. But right now, when we're at, you know, 7 or 8% increases, we can deal with those.
Right.
And we should deal with those operationally. It's in our best interest to, you know, not spend our money right now. But so
maybe we initiate discussion outside the room on this and come back to the committee.
Yeah, we can come back.
So we systematize this so it's not, if a truck hits one of us and doesn't carry orally with us, we'll systematize that. Because I think it's going to happen, and I think it's... that's the reason we're doing this anyway. This money is irrevocable, so it has to stay in for this purpose. Can't be reused in another purpose where it's funded, but it's going to have to flow. We don't have a process yet for it flowing over. So
I think one of the concerns I have too is, you know, when you do that, when you use the Section 115, you're basically, the use of it would be to reduce your contribution rate, right?
Right.
So it could, any council or anybody at the time could think, oh, we've got more money available because we don't have to make as big a contribution. So it's almost like an artificial drop, if you will, that we could see. So I've been sort of reluctant to spend our savings to fund operational. Mm-hmm. Because once you do that, everyone says, oh, look, we got more money to spend.
Right.
I don't really want to go there. Personally, I think until you have to, and we're not suffering, we're still able to do everything we need to do without it. But I think you're right. Looking at, there's a trigger at some point. We may want to say, hey, yeah, let's figure it out when we do that. But I think we're ways off from that yet.
Yeah, that's it. We could put something in that makes that happen. You probably already know this, so if I'm already speaking for the choir on this one, the cities that don't do this, and they get this increasing amount that goes into CalPERS, they have to take that out of something. So they're saying, we take out of fire, we take out of police, we take out of the road fund. So this is a cushion to insulate us from having to do that. So we save up this money to put into CalPERS as they increase their demands on the benefits, paying off the benefits. Mm-hmm. And the previous, one of the previous councilmen wanted pushed, made a push to see what it would be to get out of CalPERS. And it's an amazing formula. The formula is twice as much to get out of CalPERS than to get in. So it's a lock. It's a handcuff.
See, what they're going to do, if you try and get out, they're going to extract their long-term liability from you because they don't want their other participants having to pay for it. So that's what they're trying to do. Their formula is not advantageous to leave unless you're really cash flush.
It's Hotel California. You go in and you never get out.
Yeah, there you go.
Golden handcuffs.
Thank you very much.
Really,
yeah.
Thank you. I think we're on our other business now.
Yeah, Mr. Roy brought up the safety signage. Mike and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
We've got some things ordered so that there'll be signs that we can put out there that, hey, you know, slow traffic ahead, workers and work or whatever. I forget what there's actually official signage that you
use. Yeah, there's
we're
official.
Ourselves. Yeah. I mean, that's what we are.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get back to you that Mike and I have talked about ordering some of those things and having those cones out and things like that. So.
I know it's a pain in the neck, but I mean, it's just stuff you have to do now.
Yeah.
And we have a tremendous liability because you come around that corner there off of Imperial onto Taft.
Several.
And that's and he's out there with one barricade.
One little cone stuck in the corner of his truck.
And I'm sitting there going, somebody's just going to come around that corner someday. And
that's true. Okay.
The whole landscape department of Villa Park is going to be out of. Out of business, we're going to have a big lawsuit.
So Mike and I have been talking about that. He is wearing the orange.
No, he does a good job there, but that's that's not going to protect you when that car hits you.
People aren't paying attention.
No, they're coming home from work and they're in a hurry and.
Or the sun's in your eyes. I'm glad we
have not been following the law really.
I don't mean to be a broken record, but it is, my business is involved with. We all are nowadays, but my trucks and things are out there on the highway, and you just can't protect yourself enough.
Yeah.
And
I just want to get back to you that we have ordered signs and we're taking care of
it. For the good of the city, and thank you. I'm glad to see it taking place.
So, does anybody have any future discussion items that we haven't talked about? But it seems like we did a good job today covering everything.
Yeah, today was a great meeting.
A lot of stuff covered that we.
The interest rate is always going to bother us, but with all the people in the room, there's twice that many. If I were dealing with my money, I'd be a little more aggressive than it sounds like a lot of the people in the room. But we have to look at it from the standpoint of the city.
Exactly.
So that's a frustration on my part because
I'm going
to rip the lips off all these bankers today. Right.
Actually, Lee has done a very good job.
If it were mine, but it's not.
She went and got more money for us. So
yeah, because I mean, there's nothing around that doesn't give you 5%.
Right.
So anyway.
Anything else for the now or the future? Okay. And the next meeting date, if our usual rule is followed, would be April 17th. Our usual rule is end of quarter, following month, third Wednesday. That's our usual rule, right?
17th of April.
Is that right?
17th of April.
2 days after 15th of April.
And you want to stick with 8:30?
What would you like to do? Move it earlier?
Well, he's early. 5:30, right?
Won't go that far.
I mean, I like 8 o'clock better, but.
I have so much trouble getting here at 8.
What was the date again?
April
17th at 8:30 is what our current policy is.
I was in Banning yesterday at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
How are you?
Well, they're pouring concrete out there on the job. And they were actually started 2 hours ahead of me. They started at 2.
No kidding.
That's one more thing. I do not have a current investment policy still.
Okay.
The last updated revision, I do not have.
Okay.
I think we should just alert everyone to the website, and I mean, I don't have any copy I can work with or look at that, you know, in terms of editing. And so yeah, I like to keep track of changes I want to make, and I don't have anything. Anyway, I think you should just alert everyone to the investment policy website, would you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, and would you copy me on that?
Yeah, we'll copy everybody. We'll get everybody.
Yeah, we'll send it to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I want a copy I can have in my computer.
Sure.
So I can, when we discuss changes, mm-hmm. I can put them in there, and I don't have any, I just have to keep
sure.
notes.
Okay.
I don't know why I deleted it. I mean, it was... there were changes made after my last version that I had in the computer. Okay.
Okay.